Blog Talk Radio.
I want to thank all the sponsors for being here with us tonight. Of course, that's Fit for Life, the One Dead Nation Sports. Check out their page. If it wasn't for them, man, me and Craig Moore couldn't come on here and talk about racing with all these great folks around the nation. I want to thank I-95 Radio and My High Radio for syndicating the show, playing in their regions. And, of course, there is sponsorship availability for advertisement for our show as well. We're coming up on the 2019 race season. And Craig and I have already decided that we're going to kick this thing off for 2 years. So we will be back together with Race Chat Live for the 2019 season. We'd like to add you as a title sponsor. Now, we're done with the business. We'll throw that right out the way. Craig Moore, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Oh, you know, I'm lovely, man. The weather is great. I'm above ground. It's a good day. And we got Watkins Glen this weekend, baby.
You know, Craig, you almost say that like it's a Talladega weekend. And I think that you and I have discussed this before, Craig. It's a big deal. Watkins Glen is a big deal for y'all. And I think a lot of it has to do with region. Craig, what's your thoughts on that? Why is Watkins Glen such a big deal for you guys?
I think because for us, for me in the local area, we're only two and a half hours away. And it is a road course. It is the only track in New York State that is on the NASCAR circuit. So it's a big deal. Plus, and I know you've never been up here, but the Watkins Glen itself is gorgeous. So it is wine country like Sonoma is for California. Watkins Glen is for New York.
Yeah, and Craig, you know, geography-wise, y'all are up there by yourself. Watkins Glen is the closest track. Of course, people take for granted how long the Eastern Seaboard is, and, of course, there's tracks in Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia. So, you know, we kind of take care of that Eastern Seaboard, but once you get up, you know, you get New Hampshire, I think it is, in Dover, it's kind of your own country. New York is, Craig Moore, what, the fourth biggest state in the United States?
Yeah, and it's probably the fourth biggest tax as well. So, yeah, we're the fourth biggest state per capita.
Right.
But if you've ever been there, and I know you haven't, we'll get you up here someday. We'll get you on a plane. But the area up there is just beautiful, and there's a lot to do. They sell out rather quickly for hotel rooms. I tried to book a hotel room there 2 years ago because we were going to go to the race, and you couldn't find a hotel room. And I wasn't about to drive back home after the race. We didn't end up going. We were just going to drive up on a Sunday and stay overnight. We were going to buy tickets at the gate. But this year, it is sold out. And to me, that's just phenomenal. You and I talked about it earlier this week, whereas Talladega and Watkins Glen are sellouts, yet you have other tracks around on the circuit that are suffering to fill half the seats. So it kind of makes you wonder what they're all doing what they're not doing that Talladega and Watkins Glen are. What's the allure to it? And I brought a little bit up of it. I think it's the area, and it's I think it's the mystique of the race.
Mm-hmm. Now, Watkins Glen, you say the mystique of the race, and a lot of people may not know the history of Watkins Glen, Craig Moore. Obviously, it took me years to find out that Watkins Glen was a little town that they put a racetrack in. At one point in time, it was actually a Grand Prix-type racetrack where they raced on the real roads. Do you know much history on that?
Correct. And now it's a track in and of itself. They have it. They open it every year. They open it every year, the start of every season. They open it, and you can run your streetcar on the track. I mean, to me, that's phenomenal. I don't know too many other tracks that do that. Do you know of any, Chris?
Yes, Craig Moore. As a matter of fact, Talladega does it about once a year. Atlanta does it about once a year. I know that they just had the Charlotte Roval done. I think it was a couple of weeks ago I watched a video of the day where the cars get to go out there. So what I believe it is NASCAR is allotted a certain time of year at each of these racetracks to where the civilians, you know, so the fans can take their own car out there, which I'll be real honest with you, Craig Moore, that's cool, man. I mean, for you to be able to get out there and drive your car around Talladega or a place like Watkins Glen or even the Roval, you know, it really – it puts the stock back in stock car if you kind of get where I'm going here.
Oh, absolutely. I get where you're going, and I think it's great that NASCAR does that. You know, speaking of which, when we do our picks later, I want to challenge everybody on the team and the Race Chat Live page. I'm going to do a post later today. I want everybody's picks, but I don't want any of the top three because they're pretty much a given, and they're a threat every week. I want somebody that you think has a legit shot at unseating one of the top three.
Well, you know, this is wild card time, Craig Moore, and I think that right now the next, I believe it's five races to go, this is going to be where the guys are going that are near the back that are not locked in or may have to race their way in. You're going to see them take chances. You're going to see the ones that are closer to the top. Those guys that are like 7th through 12th, they don't want to lose any position. So you're going to see them conservative racing. And then the ones who've already had wins, they can go for broke. But it's that back half of guys that you've really got to watch, the 13th through 26th. It's going to count, man. And this is one of those places like A.J. Allmendinger. A.J. Allmendinger can go into this race, he can win this race, and that guarantees a JTG race car in the chase. And guess what else we have in the chase this year, Craig Moore?
Another road course.
Thank you very much. You said it, man. I mean, you know, another road course that will open the door for A.J. to get him two wins and possibly send him further into the chase. So, some of these guys are going in these next few races very optimistic and ready for the challenge to do something that they've not been able to do so far this season. And there's several guys in that group that I would not be surprised to see. And one of those guys, I want to name it right now, David Ragan. David Ragan, to me, is a great dark horse that he's with an organization that has won before on strategy and won before at Talladega. David Ragan, keep your eye on him. There are miracles that have happened each year into this chase. And if you want to call the Michael Waltrip conspiracy a miracle, for those that hate Toyota, there you go. And for the Jeff Gordon fans, because he did, of course, get put into the chase because of that. So, you know, that some people send it as a curse, other people as a blessing. But we won't get too much into that. We all know what I'm talking about at Richmond and Michael Waltrip Racing. And the intentional spin out by Clint Bowyer that, of course, was clearly a method to make sure that one of the Michael Waltrip race cars got into the chase. I believe what year was this, Craig Moore? 2010 or 2011 it could have been.
Midway through the decade.
I guess it was because Michael Waltrip Racing hasn't been gone but maybe three or four race seasons. But, So, you know, this is that hope. You know, these guys are going in, and, of course, you have another wild card, so to speak, race at Indianapolis. You just don't know what to expect there. That's the race chase cutoff. It's not Richmond this year. So, Richmond, you know, Indianapolis is going to be hands up in the air. Anybody can be in victory lane. This is an exciting part of the season for me, Craig Moore. And to know that a place like, to go back to the original topic, a place like Watkins Glen coming up on the schedule, it's the perfect time. Y'all are experiencing beautiful weather up there other than the rain, but I'm sure it's nowhere near as warm as it was. It just seems like the right time to have a good road course race. And the fans up there, they continue to support their racetrack.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's touch gears up.
Craig, you kind of zoned out there for a second. Craig.
Broke up.
Craig Moore. Well, he's experiencing a little bit of issues, race fan, on his cell phone line. We'll have Craig Moore back ASAP. But once again, we were discussing the chase and Watkins Glen. Of course, the original topic that we started the show on was the fact that a place like Watkins Glen sells out, a place like Talladega sells out, but so many other tracks have an issue with being sellouts. And, of course, Talladega hasn't officially sold out, but they've been at capacity for the last three years or three to six races. Of course, there's other tracks that have really good sales, but I think a lot of that has to do with Watkins Glen, as they take a lot of people north of New York and into the Canada area, and those guys really love road course racing. There's been a lot of great road course racers from Canada. Ron Fellows is one that comes to mind immediately. Stats, PK, Nelson PK Jr., I do believe, is another one. Of course, Patrick Carpentier, also a magnificent road course racer from Canada. Max Pappas. Max isn't from Canada, is he, Stat? Where's Max Pappas from?
I believe he's from Canada. I'm not sure. He might be like some.
He may be from Canada. He may very well be from Canada. I do know that he is of a national descent. So you know, a lot of famous drivers have come out of there. Of course, NASCAR has their own program up in Canada. They have their own series there, along with Mexico as well. You know, Daniel Suarez come up through the NASCAR sanctioned series in Mexico. So that's how we got Daniel Suarez where he is today. And as we've brought his name up, I mean, kudos to such a great run. Stats, I think that I've always made it clear that I'm not too much of a Toyota fan on the show here, but at the same time, I love to see guys get their first win. And this Daniel Suarez, this kid, I love the personality. You know, Stats, we see a lot of new drivers. They come in, they're kind of dry. You know, I don't know if it's that he's his nationality that I like, or maybe it's just the way that he talks. But I tell you what, Suarez is backing it up with Stats, and he's got a personality too that I think we've yet to really see. And I'm looking forward to watching Suarez become a winner in the biggest in the Cup Series, and maybe even possibly a future champion. What do you think about that, Stats, while we're waiting on Craig to come back on?
It's possible. I got a correction from Craig. He wrote in. He's trying to get into the studio, but he wrote in that Max Pappas is from Italy.
Max Pappas is from Italy. Okay. All right. So he's not from Canada. He is from Italy. We were wrong and we were right there. So we knew that he wasn't from America, but definitely Max Pappas is a hell of a road racer. And, you know, Stats, when you look around the globe, typical oval racing isn't global. There's a lot of oval racing here in America, and then there's a lot of oval racing in Australia. But you go to almost every other continent, and it's road course racing, and that's the series that they follow. So when you're on the world stage, as NASCAR's tried to put, we've been able to attract drivers from a lot of different areas. And wait till I finish this subject, because you wonder how this subject can go into Daniel Suarez and the conversation that we were just having with him. Daniel Suarez has a lot of experience on road courses, because the Mexican series, the NASCAR series, has a lot of road course racing in it. So Daniel Suarez is no stranger to wheeling left and right turns. This could be his weekend. I may be early, Craig Moore. I may be putting the pick out there early. You said go with somebody besides the big three. I mean, you know, let's move Daniel Suarez right up into that talk. Do you think this could be a challenge between him and A.J. Allmendinger and a few of these other guys with a lot of experience road racing?
Absolutely. He showed me some things this weekend at Pocono that had me totally behind him. I wish I was Eric Jones, because I would have pushed him.
Yes. You and I agreed on this Monday. Exactly.
Yeah, that would have put Suarez in the chase. That would have locked him in the chase. You know, everybody wants, and you and I talked about this, and I get it, everybody wants a win. But Eric Jones has got one. If he would have pushed him, you would have had three of the JGR cars in the chase. And that would have been phenomenal. Instead, Eric Jones, you know, goes into business for himself, if you will, and drops down and see you later, Kyle Busch. But
Craig, I mean, I don't want to disappoint the fans here. It's not that you're saying that that somebody should have given up the chance to win for the other teammate, but I do know what you're saying. You know, the object is to beat Kyle Busch. This is Kyle
right.
Busch's series, Craig Moore. I mean, I get what you're saying. You've got to beat Kyle Busch. If you're going to win a championship, who do you have to beat? You got to beat Kyle Busch. So, you know, Eric Jones was looking out for Eric Jones, and that's great. But at the same time, you're going to have to go through the same guy at the end of the year. You might as well have your other teammate there working with you, because guess what? Kyle Busch probably won't work with you at the end of the year. Somebody like Daniel Suarez, he's going to remember, if he makes it into the chase, do you think he's going to calmly forgive Eric Jones for not giving him that little tap there, for going out on his own? I tell you what, Kyle Busch said it. You race me that way, I'm going to race you that way. So
exactly.
You know, Eric Jones may have not made – I mean, we're not talking about team orders here, okay? That's F1, and we get it. We get it that team orders is not racing. But at the same time, who are you helping, Eric? And this is coming off of your win, and I know that you had a good – you know, a magnificent win, okay? That was great. And you proved to us by beating the former champion, the 2017 champion. But, Craig, I got to be right there with you. He should have pushed him. He should have helped out Daniel Suarez, because guess what? You both had to get around Kyle Busch. And it's better to have somebody going with you than to try to do it on your own. I mean, it's the object of the game is to beat the guy in front of you. So you can't hold him accountable, and you can't be mad at him, but you got to ask yourself, did that win last week, a couple of weeks ago, did that influence his decision-making at a pretty important time? Because like I said, he had the chance, but when he did that on his own, Daniel Suarez still finished the race second, Craig Moore. Where did Eric Jones finish? Fifth.
Yeah.
It didn't help him.
You know,
In the top five rankings for this week, Suarez, Kyle Busch, Eric Jones, and Truex is the fourth one, and the fifth one is A.J. Allmendinger. So there's your five favorites for this week.
That's what Vegas is going with, stats?
No, I got that off the fantasy, you know, they give you fantasy ratings every week.
Eric Jones, Kyle Busch, and Daniel Suarez are all in the top ratings for this week.
Yep. Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep.
So Craig Moore, back to you. We're not far off the subject. I just said Suarez has a lot of road course experience. I wish that I could bring frame for frame of his road course experience in the Nationwide Series, in the Xfinity Series. Sorry about that. But unfortunately, I'm not recalling anything special with Suarez at the road courses before him. But this is a whole new beast, and he's coming off of a good finish. Another attaboy to Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman, yeah. Third-place finish at a very tough track. Pocono is not like any other racetrack. It's similarity to a couple of tracks, including Indianapolis. But Pocono is a beast of its own, and Alex Bowman come out with a good run. As a matter of fact, Hendrick Motorsports had a good run this past weekend. The only driver finishing outside the top 10 is, well, Jimmy Johnson.
Doesn't surprise me.
And guys, you mentioned Alex Bowman. I saw this on Facebook before I was able to put it up on the 110 page. Alex Bowman signed with Hendrick Motorsports through 2020.
Oh, look at that, Craig Moore. Alex Bowman got his extension. How about that? Through 2020. He no longer has to worry. Alex Bowman is their man. Talk about right timing, huh, Craig Moore?
Oh, absolutely, and so did Nationwide.
Yeah, I think that there's something good about this kid as well. Look, we've waited on the talent to get here, okay? We've watched them go through the minor league. We've watched their first couple of years. Craig Moore, we're about to see the new breed. We're about to see these boys bust out. Go ahead, Craig Moore.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, that, you know, Chase Elliott won his second 2 weeks, and he has said that, oh, God, I hope the first one wasn't a fluke. And then he goes out and wins the second stage of this week. He's actually my pick to win at Watkins Glen this week. I don't know why. I just have a feeling.
So you went from hater to bandwagoner.
No, not hater.
Nah. I knew you would correct me.
I don't hate him. I think
disbeliever to a believer.
Yes.
Okay.
I think we as the media, and I've said this numerous times, we as the media put so much pressure on him because he accepted.
Yeah, I think that you have a point there. He's not his father. As a matter of fact, you know, it took a long time for Bill to click, too, at the top of the stage. And it took a lot of these older drivers that have already left the sport, a lot of the last generation drivers, they did. Ricky Rudd, Mark Martin, all of them had rides before they got big. And they didn't just have one or two rides. Most of them bounced around into the lower ownership cars until somebody like a Richard Childress or somebody like a Bud Moore said, okay, this is the guy that I'm pulling, or Roush when he found Mark Martin. Mark Martin had been in the Cup Series already. He had raced just many races in the Cup Series, but it was the team that Jack Roush put together that brought Mark Martin to stardom. So, you know, Chase has not had to worry about that. He's been with the same organization since he signed on at 15 years old. I do believe that there's been a lot of pressure on Chase, but Craig, I listened to all this for years with Dale Jr. He's only there because his daddy. He didn't earn it. I'm going to tell you, you're a dang liar, because Dale Earnhardt come out the door winning. Dale Earnhardt Jr. didn't take long to get to victory lane, Craig Moore. And so he was able to build a fan base really quick. And I know so many junior fans want to jump on that Chase bandwagon. But I'm going to tell you something, junior fans. Junior Nation, I'm talking to you right now, Junior Nation. I want y'all to perk your ears to me. The pressure that you put on Dale, guys, we had some tough years. And though most of us stuck it out with him, there were those that turned on him so fast. I see the same pressure being put on Chase week after week. That pressure, if y'all would lift it up just a little bit and be proud of his finishes and say, hey, this kid's got it going, it's just around the corner, it would probably happen sooner than later. Craig Moore. The kid's under a lot of pressure.
Preach it on, brother. Preach on. And that's day one. As soon as putting him the next $1 million champion, or however you want to put it, I think we're putting way too much pressure on this young man, and he's gonna falter. And sure enough, it happened.
It has happened up until now. I think that being the organization that Chase Elliott's been with, you didn't expect to see a fall off. Of course, no fall off is ever predicted, or there wouldn't be people jumping out of buildings when the stock market crashes, okay? Most of the time, you expect some kind of warning that the organization is going kaboom, but guess what, Craig Moore? You can walk in the office after 20 years at a place, and they hand you a pink slip and say, sorry, sir, we're not opening the doors today. And so this happens. Fall offs are not something that takes a lot of time to happen. Hendrick Motorsports has gone from top level to, you know, fighting, and they can't get a win. Nobody
right.
would expect that. But knowing the organization, just like the Yankees, just like the Boston Celtics, just like the L.A. Lakers, just like the New England Patriots, it's not going to take that organization long to right what's wrong. And that signing of Alex Bowman tells me that the personnel that they have is the right personnel, because that was a hot seat right there, Craig Moore. Think about Alex Bowman only been given 1 year to succeed, and now that 88 is open to whoever wants to drive it, and whoever the biggest star is can have that seat to help right the ship, right? This is what Mr. Hendrick could say. I want to right the ship. I want to go bring such-and-such driver to my organization. Sorry, Alex Bowman. But what this says for Hendrick Motorsports, this signing of Alex Bowman until 2020, what it says is we've got the right personnel, we've got a few kinks to work out, but don't fret too much longer, you bowtie fans. We're coming back. And this is coming from a Ford man.
Well, not only that, but Jeff Gordon retired. He's been with Hendrick since 1991-92. Jimmy Johnson, who knows how much longer he's got in the car. So you've got Bowman, Elliott, and Byron. You've got three young guys that are hungry, and a one old guy whose crew chief is ecstatic that NASCAR scheduled an off weekend for the weekend his first child is being born.
You know, the advancement of medicine and birth, you almost wonder if these NASCAR drivers and these crew chiefs hadn't figured out exactly when to, you know, that way
you can kind of
plan something there.
I was listening to Race Hub, and Chad Knaus was talking about his season and how, you know, they're not point trade. I think they got 100.
Yeah, you're breaking up.
You're cutting out, Fred.
They're point racing. They're going out each and every week for a win. But he's happy that the off weekend comes on the week that his wife is due to have their first child. And he said, thank you, NASCAR. But you're absolutely right. They know strategy. So, you know, they plan that just right. But,
definitely.
You know, I think that let's change gears real quick. Let's talk about Bubba Wallace.
Shift gears.
Let's switch gears for a little bit. Let's
okay.
talk about Bubba Wallace. That young man took what he said in a tweet, the hardest hit in his career.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going down into turn one and going for your brakes and knowing that they're not there at 195 miles an hour? Your first instinct is to go down into the grass, which he did. And he said that wasn't the smartest decision he could make, but that was the first decision he thought of. And just the fact that he was able to walk away from that wreck says leap and bounds of what NASCAR has done. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And he had enough presence of mind to know to turn that car slightly to the left when he went back up on the track so he didn't hit that sucker head on.
Right. Yeah, I know so many of us were captivated by that moment when we sat there to watch him pull the window net down. Of course, he had a funny story about that as well, saying that, you know, he wasn't thinking about that at the time. I think next time that he got the reaction from the fans that he did, that he'll remember to pull that window net down a lot quicker. But I'm telling you, it's the testament of the safety and the improvements that have been made into the sport, the G-forces that was hit in that wall. If it wasn't for the soft wall, you know, we would be talking about a different story. And he broke the concrete wall, guys. He hit the wall so hard that he broke the concrete wall.
He broke through the safer barrier and broke the concrete wall.
That's amazing. I mean, it literally, that's an impact that it's that won't be forgotten by Bubba. You know, and I guess, you know, he's such a great character that, you know, people can laugh it off now. But I don't think he really got into detail how sore he was Monday morning, Craig Moore.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And I will say, and I just sent this into the news feed, but the ultrasound came back stating that he's not having twins. So, you know, for him to say that in an interview, to be lighthearted about it, you know, after the hardest hit that he's ever taken, to come out of the infield care center and say, well, they did an ultrasound and I'm not having twins. That just shows you that he knew it was serious, but absolutely, I would not wanted to have been him Monday morning when he woke up, and even Tuesday he was still sore. I think he skipped Austin Dillon's 3-on-3 tournament because he was sore.
Yeah, scary Rick, and glad that he's okay. Of course, I think Pocono can look into the issue. I know a lot of tracks already, they have mostly pavement around. I'm not sure if the grass this time was as much of an issue. It may have actually helped him gain control of the car from going from the grass to pavement. It may have been a moment of being able to recontrol the car. But that's been an issue. I've seen about 30 wrecks there over my lifetime that have been near that place where Bubba Wallace hit, and it's a scary place on the racetrack. Now, I'm not gonna, you know, tell him to tear down the walls and do this and that, but if there's anything that we can do in that area that will help slow the cars down, you know, to keep from hitting that wall wide open, you know, I'm for it, even if it includes adding, you know, pulling the fence back a little bit there and adding more tires back behind the safer barrier, you know, or the in between the concrete wall and the safer barrier, you know, anything to give them more absorption right there so that we don't see a car. What scared me the most, Craig, was the condition of Bubba Wallace's car. That RPM car, Richard Petty Motorsports car, was destroyed. It looked like every piece of tubing in that car had shifted either to the right or to the left.
And I do know that Dale Jr. has asked Richard Petty Motorsports for that car.
You know, at what point in time does that just get old, though? You know, it's like you come to expect these cars to wind up in his graveyard. My question is, there's still money in those race cars, guys. That's money. That's junkyard money. I mean, what does Junior have planned for these broken race cars, man? When the heck am I going to be able to go pay my $15 to just go check out that graveyard? I sound like a hater.
No, I agree with you. When I've seen that in Twitter.
Uh-oh.
You're cutting out again, Chris.
I'm like, how many cars do you need? Great. You've got a ton of, you've got over 20 ton in there.
I know. It's almost disturbing that he wants to get his hand on that many race cars, because you know, no matter what, that there's those cars are at least worth the tubing that's in them. In other words, they are worth something at the scrapyard, and we're talking. But I think what it really is Dale knows the story behind this. These cars are getting phased out again, and the more that he can collect, obviously he has something planned later on for this graveyard that he's building. You know, I guess in 15 to 20 years, we'll find out what the real plan was. I just hope that he doesn't attract looters, or maybe, you know, the 23 race team to go out there and BK racing and try to sneak in those fields tonight and steal some of those good parts off of there.
That's funny. Speaking of Twitter, you can follow Race Chat Live on Twitter.
What? We're on Twitter? You can make a tweet?
You can tweet? Rockin' Robin. Tweet. Oh, sorry. My bad. Broke into song. It's an illness of a DJ. Yes, we are on Twitter. Follow us at chat_race. That was the only thing I could get. So I did post that up to the Race Chat Live Facebook page, fans. So follow us on Twitter. You should, if I set it up right, you should be able to see every post on Twitter. You can tweet us, ask us questions, we'll answer them. I did that tonight. So
we're moving on up in the Twitter world. Of course, this is coming off the week where Facebook loses $16 billion, I believe it is. There's been enough money lost in Facebook in the last month that could equal out to the 51st most richest person in the world. That's how much money Facebook has lost in the last month, Craig Moore. We use a lot of Facebook to help promote our shows. Of course, Facebook Live, our page. If we see a decrease in the use of this mobility, this idea, what kind of long-term effect do you think that'll have on us bloggers and Blog Talk Radio guys? I mean, this has been something that's been creative from our own minds and hearts. But if you take away the platforms that we use, do we become irrelevant again?
I don't believe so. I thought everybody was going to die when MySpace went away. And MySpace went into Facebook drama. I mean, Facebook. And it's enabled us to get our platform out to people. So I don't really think it's going to – we're going to see too much of a decrease in it. Now,
so you think – Craig Moore, hold on. So you think that the people that have already bought into it, they're going to stick around. They know what Facebook is. They like Facebook. But the business side of things is where not to – you don't invest any money into Facebook right now. Maybe it's peaked out. Maybe what we've seen is the peak of it. Now it's overvalued and it's actually being put back to where it should belong. Is that maybe a case?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I think that everything brand new is exciting. And Facebook's been around since, I believe, 2006, 2007. And I think I've been on since 2007. And I think that everything runs in cycles. Everything is cyclical, if you will. And I think that, you know, it'll go back down to where it was. And that brings us right back to the racing topic, is that I think that NASCAR will start to see a turn back to the positive side of things. You know, they have to.
You foresee leveling out within the competition, the new drivers, the excitement being built off of that, new types of racetracks. There's discussions of things to come after 2020. You think that the worst has already been beside us. Now we're going to go back and we're going to kind of level off again. I think a lot of that has to do with how NASCAR's approaching their fans. Craig Moore.
I agree. I think, you know, for so long we had the Jeff Gordons and we had the Jimmy Johnsons and the Dale Earnhardts and the Dale Juniors, and once they all started to retire, and the Rusty Wallaces, the old guard phases away, and I hate to use Junior as old guard and Jeff Gordon, but, you know, they phase out, new talent comes in. It takes time for the crops to grow, to use a farming analogy, and to show their flowers and their buds. And you see little glimmers of hope, and then there's a tremendous thunderstorm. And I think NASCAR is just coming out of the torrential downpour, and they'll see things peak. I know Pocono said that they would open up their road course for a faith race if NASCAR so wanted it, which I think is exciting. But, you know, I think that everything runs in cycles, and you're eventually going to – everything's going to have a cycle. The Yankees, the Boston Red Sox – I mean Sox. You know, every professional sport goes through a downturn. And I think NASCAR is coming out of – they're coming out of turn two. And they'll zip through three and four real quick and be back on top in no time. God, at least I hope so.
Hey, Craig, you mentioned something just a minute ago that Pocono has a road course and is willing to open it up. Has this actually been talked about? Because you're the second person since Pocono that has mentioned this about a possible road course race at Pocono Raceway. Has this been discussed openly by NASCAR,
Pocono,
or where is this coming from?
Pocono officials said that they have discussed it with NASCAR to get a chase race. That if they wanted to add another road course to the chase race, which I think is, depending on how well this Roval does, that might be an option. Now, the difference between the Roval and Watkins Glen Sonoma and even the road course at Pocono is Sonoma, Pocono, and Watkins Glen, you can't see the entire track from the stands. Whereas the Roval in Charlotte is accessible to the fans. It's kind of like an arena road course. So that might be one reason that NASCAR says no to Pocono and every other track. But I've seen it on Twitter. I was looking at Twitter again tonight before we came on, and Pocono said it in a couple of other tracks, and I can't remember which ones that said it as well. So, I mean, who knows?
Seeing a shift, Craig, to road course racing? I'm just not sure about adding two road course races to the chase. And I would know that, you know, it obviously would be a fight with Bruton Smith to move Charlotte out of the chase. So this, you're having a fight, the France family or Bruton Smith, for a place in the chase, because those are the owners that basically own all the tracks. Is this a bargaining chip for Pocono to try to get into the chase, knowing that maybe the Roval is not going to be very successful? I'm worried about the Roval. Well, we haven't discussed that much because we haven't had time, but I'm kind of concerned about the condition of racing that we're going to see from Roval. I think it's going to be exciting from a fan standpoint, but I'm just not quite sure that this is going to, you know, I have more questions about this than I ever did about trucks going on dirt. I'm just going to lay it there to you now. I think the roads are too narrow. I think that there's the track is too short. You're going to have oncoming traffic with ongoing traffic. And I know that they've got certain things set up throughout the racetrack to keep those two from combining to each other. But, you know, this is this is a questionable race coming up at the Roval.
Yeah, I think that I'll tell you, I think the drivers are super nervous. They're calling it pretty much a wreck fest. Coming off of the one turn, coming off of the actual racetrack, going into the first turn, if you're not careful, you're going to hit that wall at 190 miles an hour because it is a sharp left-hand turn. So they're looking at ways to improve safety there. Over their two-day test, they had a lot of people hit that wall. They're looking at that. I agree with you that I don't think that Charlotte will come out of the chase. But I want you to look at it this way, Chris. Remember back when you had Bristol and Martinsville. They piggybacked each other in the chase. Remember that? Or even when you had Talladega and Martinsville, or Talladega and Bristol, they piggybacked each other. What difference does it make?
Bristol's race has always been in August, so they've been outside the chase. But as for the Talladega, of course, that's a wild card race, and that's kind of what they're considering with this one as well, being basically a wild card race for the Roval. You know, I think that there will be, you know, you talk about the longest straightaway in road course racing is at Watkins Glen, but I believe the fastest straightaway that's going to be in any road course racing is going to be at the Roval, and it does concern me getting off the racetrack there, like similar to the way Daytona does. But you're talking about sports cars at Daytona that are made to make these kind of sharp turns fast. The drivers just don't have as much experience on being able to back the cars down enough to make that corner and to make it off the banks of the oval. So I think that is going to be a chess piece, and whoever comes out the winner in that will have definitely earned it. I think the fans will enjoy it, but I'm just not sure if that's something that we'll be seeing again next year. I think this is a Bruton Smith going for a Humpy Wheeler moment, and Humpy was good at pulling it off. We'll have to see if Bruton Smith has any Humpy Wheeler magic.
We'll have to see. Hey, Stats, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Give us quickly your thoughts on the Roval, and I say quickly because I would like to touch on this in depth after the big street stock race in Wynot at the end of the month. So I'd like to touch on this, so I only want brief thoughts. But give me your thoughts on the Roval.
Okay, I just got to echo what you said and who said it. I saw an interview during the first practice for whatever you want to call it, the test. I don't know what channel I was watching. I don't know. I don't remember. I think it was Race, you know, NASCAR America or something like that. And they interviewed Ryan Blaney right after he got off the track. And he was probably more honest than I've ever seen him. I've never seen a race driver say they were scared, you know, because you can't be scared in a race car. And Ryan Blaney said, coming off the corners, he was scared. So that took me, aback a little, because like I say, even on a dangerous race course, you don't really hear, at least in public, a driver say into a microphone that he's scared. But Ryan Blaney was scared with what he saw just based on the test. So in other words, that said to me, if they don't improve something by the time they run the race, they're going to have, like you said, a wreck fest.
Yeah.
That came that came directly from a driver.
Yeah, that's when it comes directly from a driver, that's kind of scary. And what that tells me is that this road course may be too fast for these guys to handle. Now, I just saw something interesting on Twitter. Chris, I don't know if you've seen this, but Cole Custer, at Cole Custer, 2 hours ago, said, for 5,000 retweets and likes, I'll go full mullet and stash for Darlington. I want to see that. You there, Chris?
Oh, Chris.
All right. Well, what do you think about that, Stats?
It'd be interesting to see what his throwback paint scheme would be if he had a full mullet and all that stuff. So, interesting.
I just think it'll be great.
Craig Moore, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What was the question? What did Cole Custer say? We're experiencing storms here, guys. Sorry about that.
Yeah, we're getting ready to get them too. Cole Custer said on Twitter 2 hours ago, at Cole Custer, for 5,000 retweets and likes, I'll go full mullet and stash for Darlington. You've got a month. Hashtag NASCAR, hashtag mullet. Pound sign retweet for us old people.
Wow. He would go full mullet and stash. Sure. For the Darlington race. I mean, if we don't help him get 5,000 likes, then we're crazy. I want to see that mullet and stash. Do we have a confirmation on his throwback car, or is that yet to be announced?
That's yet to be announced from what I understand. Right now, that's at retweets, 2,730, and likes is 2,186. So that's in 2 hours, guys.
Oh, yeah, he's going to have a mullet for darn sure.
Yeah, he's going to have a mullet. He's got a month. He'll probably end up with, like, 8,000.
Maybe his car owner will follow behind, too, and wear his mullet. We all know Tony Stewart's got a good mullet.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, that thick black hair of his.
Yeah. And listen, I don't know if you've ever been to Greece. Probably not. You've probably not been out of Meridian, Mississippi very much, or Alabama.
I have Craig Moore. I have lived and been in a lot of different places. We're not all stuck to our grandma's hip like you think we are down here, though we do have a lot of missing teeth around here, so.
No comment. Jeff Gordon is on his summer vacation in Gourdes, France, and he is sporting a full beard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's gray. So, yeah, that's what... I guess married life's not too nice to him.
Jeff Gordon's sporting the full Manchu.
Yeah, no, it's a full beard, dude, and it's gray. But
wow.
Jason, I know, is in the background, and he's listening. So I want to get some thoughts. Now, I said Chase Elliott. Who did you... Oh, you said Suarez.
Who might I add is 20th, I believe, in point standings. So in order to basically get in, he's going to have to win to get into the chase.
Realistically, I mean, we're halfway through the summer stretch, but we're three-quarters of the way through the summer stretch. Right before we hit the chase, five races to go. Do you realistically think that the 48 is going to get a win before we hit the chase?
You know, Craig, that's hard to answer. I think that a lot of people are going to be trying to go for a win there at the end. I know that he's 13th in points. So, you know, you can't lay back. That's for sure. He's going to have to, you know, do everything in his power to win. I'm just not sold that they have everything together at Hendrick Motorsports. I mean, yeah, at Hendrick Motorsports. I've seen improvements. I'm just not sure. With Michigan, Bristol, Darlington, and Indianapolis all left on the schedule, Darlington can be another wild card race too, guys. That's the survival of the fittest. Michigan, maybe one of those racetracks where we could see Jimmy Johnson have a good run. Time's running out for the 48 team, Craig Moore. I'm not going to throw the towel in yet for the season, but you got to go through the top three first.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I mean, even third place and fourth place finishes, that's not going to get you very far right now when you have the top three doing what they're doing. There's a lot of fairy tale stories, a lot of Cinderella stories out there. But once that chase starts, man, it's going to be about those who accumulated playoff points and those who have wins. You know, the playoff points will transfer over, but it's all about getting the wins, and it's all about who's already won. There's only going to be one Cinderella story at that chase. And I'm not saying that you're going to see these top three guys, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., and Kevin Harvick, all make it to Homestead, because there's a possibility one of those guys doesn't make it. But at the same time, you're going to have to unseat these guys to make that happen.
Yeah, and I don't see it happening. All right, now we've all got our picks who I said outside the top three. Okay? Now, of the top three, who's got the best shot at winning this weekend?
Out of the top three?
We've already picked who we're going to stay with. But if you were going to pick one of the three, who has the best shot?
I'm going to let Stats answer this one.
Truex is rated fifth, so I'm going to say him. He's in the top five.
I'm going to go with Bush.
Since y'all went that way, I will stick with who I think my guy is. Harvick, man. Harvick's got a lot of he's got a lot of experience here. There's no way that he's not going to be a threat for this race. This is a wheelman's race, okay? This is where the real wheelmen stand out. It's not about horsepower. It's about how you make this track as small as possible to get the quickest laps. And that's going to be the type of racing that we see this weekend. Kevin Harvick in the past has always been strong at road courses. I like you all, each and every one of your picks. I think that we cover the board by taking Harvick. You know, Harvick is going to be a threat. And so when we're out here picking these other guys, you know, like I just said a minute ago, it all goes back to you got to beat one of these top three guys first. You know, it's going to be Cinderella for somebody, but they're going to have to go through the top three.
Yeah, I'm just interested to see. I'm hoping and praying it's someone other than the top three. Because realistically, it does get boring watching the same three people win. For me, anyway. I'm like, yep. And I really thought, and Kristen, you and I talked about this, I believe, on Monday, with Harvick starting so deep in the field, that son of a gun was up in the top 10 by lap 10.
Yeah, Harvick lost that race. It's just one of those that you look back on and if it wasn't for mistake after mistake, he would have been up there with Kyle Busch fighting him for the win. But for him to still pull out with that type of finish, it just shows that team doesn't give up.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, listen, I gave you my pick, and I gave you my other pick. I'm just excited for Watkins Glen this week, even though I will be in Pennsylvania for the day doing a Sweet 16 party. But I will be having it on my – I will be playing it on my laptop while I'm doing a Sweet 16 party. Because this is the one race a year I look forward to, besides the first race of the year. This Talladega Daytona – Martinsville and Bristol, this is the one I look forward to.
Yeah, road racing definitely brings something different to the table, and it's always refreshing to have these types of races. And as you said just a minute ago, we just hope for a good race. And, you know, I think Pocono was a great race, but like you said, it's the same people winning every week, and it kind of becomes an automatic turnoff.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not say that NASCAR is going to throw the obligatory caution flag when one of them is out in front, but it just seems to get boring. Yep, Kyle Busch is in the lead. That's just me. That's just one man's opinion. But
about somebody closing in on 200 wins, and I think that's historical. I think that Kyle Busch is not getting the credit that he deserves for that situation. But there again, a lot of times during the legacy years, a talent is not appreciated, but they go into the mogul stage later on, and that's where you look back and say, you know, that kid was good. You know, there will come a time in racing, I believe, when Kyle Busch is gone and somebody's going to say, hey, I wish we had a talent like Kyle Busch. You know, I believe, you know, like you said, there's cycles. And that cycle will happen one day where people will miss the show that he's put on. But right now, when you've seen the guy win 200 wins and you've basically watched every single win, you're right, Craig. It does get kind of old.
Yeah. You know, it just gets boring for me. And I said the same thing with Jimmy Johnson, with Jeff Gordon. Of course, I never said that about Dale Earnhardt, but that's another topic. But don't forget to follow us on Twitter at chat_race. You can find it on the Race Chat Live page. I posted it about an hour and a half ago.
I'm all for going ahead and cutting it out, and we'll be back again next week for another interview session. We'll have Donnie Ashford from Florida on, and then we'll have Jonathan Masters on from Race Know How. So we'll get an educational interview coming up next week, and really excited about that. Of course, in 2 weeks we'll be off. We're going to take the night off. We have the Southern Street Stock Nationals, 6th annual. It's the biggest street stock race around. Expecting over 300 entries, almost 200 stock cars should be in the gate that weekend. So if you want a big-time event that's turned into the crown jewel for this area, come to the Southern Street Stock Nationals in 2 weeks, the 16th, 17th, and 18th of August, and we'd be glad to have you all down. Of course, this weekend we have the Super Late Models Mississippi State Championship Challenge Series. Super Late Models will invade the Wynot Motorsports Park House of Hook, 800 horsepower ground pound in action. Make sure if you're anywhere around this area, you stop by the House of Hook in Wynot, Mississippi, for the Mississippi State Championship Challenge Series Super Late Models Stars of the Cars. Stats, I know you got a show coming up tomorrow night. What's give us a little bit about that?
Yep, we got two guests. One, Ed Cheslick, who is a legend driver at Riverhead and also a spotter for Tommy Ferrari's Big League team. And so we'll talk to Ed about his career and how he splits the chores on a given Saturday night. And then we have Roger Turbush back, who after 1 year in a modified, less than a year in total, a really good the other night at the 77 lap race, and he got a third place, and I'm going to have the number one and the number two finishers in that race coming up in a couple of weeks as well, because they were father and son. First time that's happened. That was a dream for them, and they did it Saturday night. The Fortons, father and son, finished 1 and 2. But this week we'll have Roger Turbush, who finished 3rd.
All right, Stats, thank you for that. And, of course, you make sure that you're listening to Hot Laps with Stats tomorrow night. Craig Moore, you got anything to close on, buddy? Craig Moore is probably already gone. So, guys, we want to thank you all for listening to Race Chat Live. Of course, we'll be back on the air next Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be 7 o'clock Central Time. I'm looking forward to our two guests, and y'all have a great week. Go support your local track. Bye.
Good night.